This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. 87-year-old Jim Schaefer has had his hands busy since 1946. He's the last commercial broom maker left in West Virginia. Tomorrow, a short film about Schaefer will be screened at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. The event is free and open to the public. The state folklorist Emily Hillard teamed up with Inside Appalachia earlier this year to produce the story as part of a collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the West Virginia Folklife Program. Roxy Todd sat down with Emily to talk about her work and a new project she's working on that aims to connect younger folks with artisans across West Virginia.
The Brewmaker piece that you produced is being shown at the Library of Congress on Saturday. That's way exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks.
When it was posted online earlier this spring, it kind of went viral. Can you talk about why Jim Schaefer's brewmaking story you think resonated with people across the country?
Sure. So I think on one hand, it resonated with people who are from West Virginia and live in West Virginia because they know Jim and they've been buying his brooms for years and years at Pile Hardware or through Lions Clubs or directly from Jim.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how many brooms he's made over the years?
I actually calculated this because he said he has made about 300 brooms a week, now down to 200. But over 70 years, that amounts to almost a million brooms.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about that's a million brooms that have been in a million homes, a million janitor closets, a million witches' costumes or Harry Potter costumes. And so he's really touched a lot of lives with this object that's such a daily tool.
Yeah, you don't think about a broom, but we all use it for the most part, unless our house is extremely messy. We all have one. But also it resonated with people outside of West Virginia that had never heard of Jim Schaefer or, you know, the Charleston Broom and Mop Company. I mean, when I talked to him, he had heard from people from Florida, from New York, who came to visit him, and that's incredible.
Right. Yeah, I think part of that is because Jim is just so compelling of a person, and also his longevity in the trade is a really interesting story. He's basically been making brooms the same way for 70 years, but the whole infrastructure has changed around him. So I think maybe there's some nostalgia. His workshop looks a lot like, you know, what I remember my grandfather's garage looking like. So I think it resonated on a few different levels.
And Emily, you're the West Virginia State Folklorist, and you're about to complete your second year. And do you know how many interviews you've recorded so far across West Virginia?
I think we have about 50 oral history interviews of at least an hour long, generally, with I think 65 different consultants, because sometimes we do interviews with multiple people at once. And that's probably from about half the counties in the state.
When I think of folklore, sometimes I think about banjo players, I think about weavers. Who else is included in this collection of interviews that you've done so far?
Sure. So folklore we think of as the art of everyday life. So it's pretty expansive. So far, we have worked with people from the Serbian community in Weirton. So some of the men who prepare their chicken feasts every week in the summer, and the reverend at the Serbian church there, Greek dancers, songwriters, labor songwriters like Elaine Perky, turkey call makers in Jackson County. So it's really all over the map, and I think we will expand more and more with interviews and the definition of what folklife is. You know, it can include newer emergent traditions. You know, at this point, hip-hop isn't that new, but hip-hop music, any kind of music that comes out of a cultural community that's informal and shared between people.
As you've been doing this for the past year and a half or 2 years, do you see a lot of hope for these things to continue and being passed down, or do you think that the younger generation is sort of losing touch with a lot of these traditional crafts?
I definitely see that the younger generation is invested in these traditions, and that has been so exciting. One example is there's an 18-year-old Morgan Rice in Helvetia, West Virginia, the Swiss community. And she was working on the Ramp Supper. And a few years ago, the Ramp Supper was struggling in Helvetia because they were competing with other events in the area, and it's a pretty remote place, so they just couldn't draw the audience like they used to. And they had it in mind that they were going to cancel the dinner. And so Morgan took upon herself to create a petition, and she said she sent it to everyone in Helvetia that said, what am I going to bring my kids back to if this Ramp Supper goes away? This is really important to the life of Helvetia and to my life personally, and it needs to continue. And so two women in the Farm Women's Club that Morgan is a part of decided to support her, and they all worked together to kind of reevaluate, and I think they boosted their marketing, and they decided that they would have the Ramp Supper again. And Morgan says that even though it was a terrible day weather-wise, they had a huge draw, and so it has continued. They had a big one this past year. So that's been really exciting to see that young people have a hand in passing on these traditions, and they can make a difference.
So what's next for the West Virginia Folklife Program?
So we are launching an apprenticeship program, and Jerry Milnes ran a similar program out of Augusta for many years. It has stipends available for master traditional artists to work with an apprentice and do a year-long in-depth apprenticeship. And that will culminate in a final public showcase that we'll have here in Charleston. It will be free to the public, and those apprentices and master artists will share their performance if it's a performance form, or demonstrate what they do, or prepare food if it's Foodways apprenticeship.
Well, Emily, good luck in the next year, and I'm sure we'll hear more of your adventures on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Emily Hilliard is the West Virginia State Folklorist from the West Virginia Humanities Council.
The deadline to apply for one of the folklore apprenticeships Emily mentioned is October 15th. We've posted information on our website about how to apply, as well as details about where the Library of Congress is showing the Broommaker film this Saturday. That's all at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny, high temperatures in the 60s and 70s. Clear skies tonight with lows in the 40s. Mostly sunny and clear this weekend with daytime highs in the 60s and low 70s. Overnight lows in the 40s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Shentel, providing internet as well as home phone and cable TV to West Virginia. For more information, visit Shentel.com. Shentel, always connected to you. David Amram, a conductor and composer of more than 100 works. Here he is performing a vocally improvised rendition of Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World as part of our Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright, blessed days.